All right, it's Sunday morning, and we bring in the professor, Ron Wotus, the bench coach of the San Francisco Giants. Well, how are you?
Marty, I'm doing well. As you said, looking forward to today's game. Haven't seen the Ross kid throw. And, of course, we have Bum on the mound, so we feel good about it.
Yeah, you know, the Ross kid, as we like to call him, I'll just give you a couple of numbers on him, so you probably saw this. Lefties, 299 with four homers. Righties, 170 with one homer. 100 at-bats against the righty, two extra base hits.
Yeah.
One walk, 29 strikeouts against right-handed batters. Yeah. How about that?
Those numbers stand out. You know, when you look at that, you know the righties are going to be in trouble because you don't see that every day. And the walks to strikeouts is something else that you look at. You know, it says this kid has pretty good command. And if you command the baseball and you have good stuff, that's a deadly combination.
Yeah, and he's supposed to be in the minor leagues, and they put him in the bullpen. And now as a starting pitcher, 6 of 8 starts. He's given him at least 6 innings. And he's pretty good. He's pretty good. And, again, all the numbers speak highly of him. But we'll see what he does today against the world champions.
You know what? Every game is different. You know, this club over here, I mean, shoot, the pitching staff that they have, every day they run out a quality starter. You know, this kid's taking Pfister's spot in the rotation, if you can, you know, imagine that. They have to put Pfister, who's a pretty good pitcher in his own right, into the bullpen. So they have a quality staff, and we've been able to swing the bats well. I mean, our guys are really swinging well right now.
Yeah, you know, as I like to say this time of year, the young, experienced hitters, and I mean, you know, the Belts of the world, the Crawfords of the world, the Posies of the world, those are the guys you like in August because the legs are fresh and these dog days are real for real, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They are. There's no question, especially when you haven't been through it. Fortunately for us, as you said, the young experience, you know, these guys are still young, but they've been through it. You know, they've played through October, so they understand that they can deal with it a little bit better. They know what to expect, and they're playing well.
How'd you like the home run by Desmond last night? I think it came down this morning.
You know, we see those during batting practice. You know, Justin Maxwell hits him up on the concourse during BP. Yes, he does. And over the years that I've been here, I haven't seen many people hitting the ball onto the concourse in BP. And, you know, he's right up there with all the power hitters we've had come through here. But in the game, I don't remember a ball that has gone further than that home run last night. There may have been, but I don't recall it. I mean, that thing was smoke.
Yeah, I mean, it went so far, I couldn't even tell where it came down, but it was 477 feet, one of the longest in baseball this year. But Galarraga.
Yep.
Remember the big cat?
Sure.
And he hit one, and I'll never forget it. And, you know, you watch so many home runs hit in a park, and you got a feel for where they're going to go. He hit one about to the back of the bleachers, pretty close to that.
Yeah, no question. And he was one of those guys, even in batting practice, you know, the big cat, he could launch him in BP as well as anybody. Of course, he did it in the game as well, but he had that great raw power. And where it really stands out to me in my mind, remember watching him hit, is being in Arizona. He'd take BP in Arizona, and, you know, they have that cafe up there real high up down a left field line, and he would be hitting balls in the people's soup up there and, you know, before the game, and routinely he'd be putting them into that restaurant. And they built that restaurant figure, and this is far away enough that nobody's going to hit it because it has a balcony, and he did it routinely when he went to Arizona.
Andres Galarraga, the big cat. Now, Johnny Mize, the great Hall of Famer, Big John, J-A-W-N, they used to call him, from Georgia. He was also the big cat.
Oh,
and,
he was.
You know, he moved around the bag pretty good. But Galarraga was a heck of a fielder, wasn't he?
Sure was. Very athletic for his size, you know. Reminds you, different body types, but Rick Rushel as a pitcher on the mound, right? He didn't look like he'd be sleek fielder or a tremendous fielder, and he was. And the big cat was the same. Real smooth. You know, Andres had the smooth fielding ability, a quick first step. For a big man, he moved really, really well.
All right. You brought up the hitting, and look, you had 10 doubles over a couple of games. I think the record for a couple of games, 12 doubles. It's fine. This park, it's something. When you and I talk for years about this park, and, oh, it's a tough park to hit, and it's this and that. But when you get guys who can hit in this park, and use this park the way the park is built. It is amazing what you can do without hitting the ball out of the park.
Well, we've been very fortunate. These guys are swinging the bat well. I mean, not fortunate with that. I mean, these guys, they're good hitters. I mean, we've added some good hitters. Duffy, what he's been doing, and of course, you got Craw having the year, and Buster's Buster, and Belt swinging the bat good right now. And you know, hitting is contagious, but to your point of the ballpark, we've been able to split that gap in Triple's Alley quite a bit, you know. And you can hit balls hard like that, and you go through spells where it's right at somebody, or, you know, it doesn't happen. But we've been splitting that gap quite often, and that bodes well because, you know, that's you know, you get one in that gap, usually an easy run because the guy gets to third, and then you can get him in much easier from third than second.
Yeah, Posey's turned it into doubles gap.
Yeah.
It's a triples gap, but why not? I mean, you know, the legs for him, you just hope the legs are okay as he goes, because he's catching a lot.
He's catching a lot. Look, he's catching a lot. Somewhat of an off day, not a real off day, but going to first base, it takes a little bit off his legs, and give him a chance to be back there today behind the plate. But, yeah, he's been playing a lot. And, you know, they're outfielder, they're center fielder. He's a pretty talented kid, too.
Yeah.
And
Taylor,
he gets to the ball pretty quick, you know, and that's one thing about Triple's Alley is if you don't have real good speed, you know, guy can get to it quicker and get it in, and it can hold you to a double. So the combination, I think Buster said, hey, two's good enough. You know, I'm going to stay right here.
You know, he could lead the league in hitting, and the guy will never get a leg hit.
True, true. And, you know, in his defense, though, he moves pretty good when he needs to, you know. And we've seen it. But you're catching every day. You're in the middle of that order. And there's no reason to push it because he has to go back behind the plate. And a double's a double. And there's no reason to try to stretch it to a triple there when you're winning the game in that situation.
Yeah, but, you know, honestly, you know, go back to, we talked about this a couple of weeks, Ernie Lombardi. You know, the great catcher for the Reds and the Boston Braves, and actually lived out here in the Bay Area, was a clubhouse attendant, press box attendant at some point at the end of his life. But he won two batting titles, and the guy couldn't run at all. They called him the Schnoz, and, you know, tremendous nose, and Ernie Lombardi. And they played him so, they shifted so deeply, the shortstop, I tell you, they played in left field. You know, literally, you know, he played back in the middle of the grass out there. And at the end of his career, he said he didn't realize there was a shortstop. He thought the guy was in left field. He thought he was a left fielder. But he never got a leg hit. They could throw him out from left field. And I'll tell you, Posey, what's so impressive for me, and he hits a lot of ground balls. You know, hit it to third, to short. And I know he'll bust it when he has to.
Right.
But, boy, he doesn't get leg hits, and he's still hitting 332 or something like
that. That's a good point. To hit 332 and not get any infield hits. It's more difficult to keep that average up there. I mean, you have to hit the ball hard, you know, a lot more often because the guys that can get the infield hit, and, you know, we got a bunch of them to get quite a few of them.
Well, Pence, how about Pence?
Yeah, Pence is, he's notorious
for it. He's the king.
He's the king of it. When he was with Houston, you know, you look at the stats, and I always look as the infield coach at the number of infield hits. Because it's telling you the guy's topping the ball, or, you know, you want to play the speed guys up. You want to play them a little bit closer, especially with a man on third, because they get an infield hit. It's a run. You think, oh, play deep and cut across. But these guys that can run, sometimes you defense the infield hit. And you're right, Buster doesn't get it. Pence has it down to a science. He always has. And, of course, he busts his tail and runs real well to first base. But it's impressive to hit 330 with no infield hits.
Amazing. Really, and he could lead the league in hitting. Tomlinson has been really a great surprise. And, you know, it's the beauty of baseball. And, you know, you go through it as a coach. You bring the kid up. What's going to happen? Who's he going to turn into? Not that he's going to turn into Ty Cobb, but, you know, he's going to have a career. Is he going back? You never know. And here's this kid, 6-for-18, comes up, get three hits right in a row. He's got the glasses on. And there's something about him that, all right, people are sort of like getting on to him a little bit. 6-for-18, he's hit slugging 6-11. Got big hits last night, and he hit one to Triple's Alley, and this kid can fly. Man, can he run?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he has that ability. I mean, that's part of his tool set is the speed. And, you know, Bobby Evans and the organization, they did a good job of, you know, picking the guy to come up here because we had other options in AAA. And Kelby is a little bit on the young side yet as far as experience. Second base is a relatively new position for him, played mostly shortstop in the minor leagues. So, you know, there's a few tangibles there that can show up into to his game. But the one thing that they really like about this kid is he could swing the bat. He always could swing the bat, and he has speed, and speed plays, you know. So he's done a very good job so far. He's working hard to master second base. But for him to come up and have the impact that he's had, as you said, he's made a difference for us, and it's been a good shot in the arm.
Well, it's great, and you know, we all talk about baseball, and you guys talk about it all day long, and the Chase Utley rumors are out there, Chase Utley. And all of a sudden, you see this kid do something, and Adrianza is sort of holding his own, and Panic, I assume, will come back at some point.
Right.
You almost say, you know something, why spend $6 million? Who cares about the money, really? But do you really need to bust it up a little bit and bring in Chase Utley? I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, look, you're always going to try to improve the club, especially if you can acquire a veteran guy who's been through a pennant race, and that's the unknown with Kelby or any young player. You know, it's one thing to play well for a short period of time, but you know, there's a lot of baseball left, and then you have to do it with the season on the line, and that's a tall order. These games are going to get more and more important as we go through this, and even you may see the talent and the ability in the player, but you don't know how they're going to react. They haven't been through it, so experience is always an important factor going down the stretch. But you know what, we've been in a tough part of our schedule right now, you know, going on the road, the last road trip, and you know, losing Joe Panic was a big blow to this club. And you know, as you had just said, this has been a shot in an arm for us, because we need to play well at this point in time. We can't fall off it. We're 2.5 games back. We need to play well. We're in a tough stretch, and Kelby and 80 are doing what they need to do to help us win games.
Yeah, all right. So what are you working on with Tomlinson? The double play to me looks a little rough coming across the bag. He's sort of like running for a bus or something when he comes across the bag. But what are you working on with him?
Double play is one of them. Look, that's the difficult thing about moving from short to second base is your game clock. I mean, you don't have that experience, your game clock. You know, the speed of the game is quicker up here. In that first double play you saw the other night, he kind of ran away from the play. He thought he was going to get clocked. He thought the runner would be on him. And so those are things that you can't, you know, teach. Yeah. It just needs experience of game played to get the speed of the game. But his technique we've been working on a little bit, and he's making adjustments, and that's what you like to see. He's out there every day. He wants to get better. He's making these little adjustments. So his overall game at second base, we're going to tweak it up, but the double play is a big part of it as well.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's, as I say, part of the romance of baseball. Who knows what can happen? And, you know, it comes up at the right time. Things happen in August. It's the spawning ground for the great rushers to the pennant or teams that fall apart.
Yeah.
And look at the Washington Nationals, 10-19 since the break. They're really struggling right now. That's a team that's really struggling. Well, get them at the right time.
Yeah, we're getting them at the right time because on paper, really? In the last 2 years in this league, I mean, Washington was a class of the league. And you look at that club over there and you say, wow, they're a powerhouse. And we caught them at the right time because they're not playing their best baseball right now. And as I mentioned, the hitters earlier, the pitching staff, they throw at you alone. You know, you expect to have it be a 2-1 game. You don't expect to score, you know, 5, 6, 7 runs off a staff like they have. Just not the starters, but the bullpen as well. They had a Papelbon. They're a little bit deeper. So we have caught them at the right time.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Storen situation, you know, the Papelbon demanded to be the closer. Storen doesn't like it. He went into the eighth inning. I was thinking about the Giants. The chemistry is so important. Is that really important on a club? Storen's upset. He'll probably be somewhere else next year. But you get to this time of year, you want everyone to, you know, you're a family since February.
Right.
You don't want anything to come in and be weird. Isn't that right?
No. You know, that's where chemistry is important. You hear a lot about chemistry, but you want people to be motivated to play, you know, for the team. You want them to play for each other, just not themselves. You're always going to play for yourself because it's your livelihood. You want to put up your numbers. You want to feed your family. You want to get the contract. But you want guys playing for each other to help win games. And there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into that. You know, if you know you're the closer and you don't close one day, somebody else gets in there to pick up the slack because you need a break. I mean, you need all 25 guys. So I do agree that keeping the guys motivated to play for the team and their teammates is very, very important. It shows up on the field. You wouldn't think it would because it's an individual game. You say, well, the guy goes to the plate, he's hitting, it's all on him, or, you know, the pitcher has to make the pitch. But it shows up an awful lot, and it shows up on how the guys play and how they go about their job.
That's true. It really, it's not a fiction. It really,
no,
there is something
true
to it, especially this time of year. Because now you all got to pull together because these games, there are no off days. Everyone is tired. I'm tired. You're tired. Everybody's tired.
Right.
Ben Stein is tired.
Right. And I think you said it, you know, the other day that this time of year you can't afford to go into long losing streaks if you want to get into the playoffs. I mean, you could do it early in the season. You can rebound. But right now you're a couple games back. We can't go on a 4, 5, 6 game skid and expect to get to where you want to go. So everybody's got to, ratchet it up a little bit and do their best to help the team win.
And the other thing is you don't want to get swept. It's one thing to lose a series. Don't get swept. Getting swept is not good.
No, I mean, it's a big
turnaround. We saw with the Cubs.
Well, and, you know, looking back, I mean, you know, that obviously that hurts you. You lose to the Cubs like that, and that's a four-game swing, you know, if you're competing against them. So you're playing a team in your division like the Dodgers. If you lose three, you lose three games. But if you lose two, they only picked up one game on you.
Yeah.
So it's a big difference.
Yeah, very much so. All right, the professor is with us. We'll take a break. A lot going on. One other thing I want to ask you before we go. Bryce Harper last night. First of all, this guy's in another league. I mean, there's Bryce Harper and there's everybody else. I mean, he is so locked in, and I watched his eyes and just his head, the concentration on the pitcher. I don't think he moved. I was wondering if he's going to fall over.
Right.
I mean, that's how concentrated he was. Hits the ball hard just about every time.
Yeah.
There's no soft outs for this guy. No dribblers here and there. He crushes it. The home run against Kane, of course, and last night off the bat. So then he hits one off his ankle. Nobody came out. It was it seemed like a long time, like a minute and a half. He's walking around, and he's holding, he's getting up on his knees. Nobody came out to see how he was doing. What happens in baseball when something like that goes on? What's the mindset? There is some theory behind this.
Well, there's probably, you know, a couple things. I mean, I don't know in his scenario. You know, maybe he's a guy that they've came out earlier and he doesn't want him coming out. You know, I can handle this. You don't have to run out here and hold my hand. But, you know, the other side of it is the old school way of thinking. And I don't know if this is a scenario or if Matty just knows the way Bryce is and he doesn't need to go out. But look, you know, you fouled one off your foot. I don't need to go out and hold your hand. You're going to let us know if you're okay or not. And the trainer goes out. Eventually, the trainer went out to check on him and find out if he's doing okay. The trainer's going to make the call whether he can go. The player's going to make the call. He's going to say, hey, I can go or I can't go. So, you know, the trainer's there to get that information. Why do two guys have to be out there holding the player's hand? Are you okay? Can you make it? You know, so that's the old school way of doing it.
Okay.
And you usually don't see it in today's game. You see everybody go out and check on the guy, are you okay, and find out if he's going to be able to continue.
He may be an old-school player.
I think he is.
He may be.
He plays hard.
Doesn't
look,
he?
From day one, we saw this kid come in the league. He plays hard. And, you know, I'm sure he didn't want to come out of that game, but the thing might be biting him pretty good, and hopefully it's hurting enough to stay out of the lineup today. So that was good timing if he's not in there because he's a heck of a player.
Well, an interesting part of baseball. And there's so much behind the scenes. You know, you think it's so simple just to see the ball, hit the ball. There's a lot going on. Because there's people. There are people involved in every situation.
You're right. And that's where Matty knows his guys better than anybody. But it does look a little odd when nobody goes out. Like I said, Matty knows his guys. Eventually he had to leave the game, which is a good thing for us.
All right. We're going to come back with the professor. School's in session, so get your paper, pens out, and everything else. I want to talk a little bit about Zimmerman, Ryan Zimmerman's play. The right-handed first baseman who's got to decide, do I throw it through the runner or maybe throw home? And then the slide by Blanco is pretty good. That was a good one. And also running the bases. And I saw with Tomlinson, someone commented the way he cuts the bases to get that extra speed. And I think I'm going to predict he will get an inside-the-park home run. I'm going to predict that. He will get an inside-the-park home run. All right, I want to talk about those things with you. We'll do that. And news, the Washington Generals. Their contract has not been renewed by the Globetrotters. They've lost 5,780 games in a row. They're not going to come back to play the Globetrotters in the Chronicle this morning. I can't believe it. All right, more coming up in the Sports Leader.